This morning, the title of my message is The Measure of Our Days. The Measure of Our Days. It seems this year I'll be 37 years old. Hey, ain't that old. Come on now. Yes, in August I'll be 37 years old. And you know what? I remember when I was like 21 years old, even 16, somebody told me that when I thought I was invincible and when I thought that I had all the time in the world to do everything that I want to do, and so I could take my time. But for some reason, it seems like time is just going by fast. It's like it's speeding up. Man, I looked the other day, and I looked at my son, and he almost taller than me, and I know it ain't hard to do. It ain't hard to do, but it occurs to me that the measure of my days, I need certain things to mark the days that I've spent here on the face of the earth. You know, time is a benefit that God provides for us. It's interesting to me because in the culture that we live in, there the frantic pace that we move. You know, Bishop talked about disconnecting. It's hard for a lot of us to disconnect. But what I think is that there is purpose and there is value to time. God gave time to us as a benefit. So purpose being that there are certain things that we need to accomplish. We got work to do. And God gives us time to be able to, as a boundary, to be able to get his purposes and the will that he has for us done. As a church, people need to see the light of God reflected in us. God gives us time to be able to do that. In terms of our progressive development and maturing in the spirit, God gives us time to do that. I remember when I was a knucklehead, still sort of, but God gave me time to get that together. It is the benefit of being God's, a child of God, that he gives time. But there is also, I see the value in time or the usefulness of time. It's often said, you know, quality time, quality time. So what defines quality time? Because, you know, the reality is that you could spend time, for example, you could spend time with your family, and it's not quality time. You could be, you know, in this age of texting, and I'm guilty, in this age of texting and cell phones, and my wife has to check me every now and then, because here it is, we're a family, we're spending time together, but we're on our devices. Yes, occupying space. But I think I particularly like the balance that the Word of God offers when it comes to certain challenges or certain things that we may face. It calls us back to reexamine and to reevaluate in light of who God is, what he is trying to say to us. So God makes time available so that we could bear fruit. The bottom line is time without something being productive in it is wasted time. We need to be productive in our days. And so I personally believe that Moses is on point when he talks about this. We talked about going through the Psalms, and I've gone through this particular Psalm over and over and over again. How many knows, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom? How many of us say it? How many of us recite it? But you know what? There's a context behind it. Moses is saying this in light of some of the things that he has seen and some of the experiences. So Psalms 90, let's get into the word. Psalms 90. So there is a purpose and a value in time. God uses time, for example, to accomplish his purposes. The Bible talks about it in the fullness of time. It even talks about the mystery of Christ being revealed in the fullness of time. So God uses time to fulfill his purposes. And it's very important to him, as well as it should be to us. So Psalms 90, I'll start from verse 1. And again, this is Moses reflecting on some things and meditating on some things. And here's his prayer. He starts off, he says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generation. By the way, I'm using the Harvest Sanctified Version. That's the New King James Version, by the way. See, Moses says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I like the way that Moses starts this thing off. He recognizes the fact that only God is able to sustain us. God is our, he says, God is our dwelling place, a place of safety, a place where we find refuge. How awesome it is, and what a benefit of being God's children when we can rely on them to keep us safe and to be that refuge. I particularly, you know, my father always told us as we were growing up, he says, you know what? And throughout my life, I have served God, and God has always protected me. It's a reminder that I need to remind my generation that it's God who's making this thing happen. It is God who's sustaining us through the generation. About 3 weeks ago, we were at a family reunion in Mississippi. And my wife's family, and they introduced the generations, the five generations that they traced back to. The first generation is no longer living. But the individual, part of the first generation, he was a reverend. And so they called up an individual to bless the food. He was also a reverend. So I'm sitting at the table, my father-in-law and one of his cousins, and she said, God is surely with us. This woman recognized that, you know, from generation, from the first generation to the fifth generation, which is currently living, God is the one who sustained that line. And I think it is very important for us all to also take hold to our generation and say, you know what? When it comes to this thing, it may look like we did it, but don't get it twisted. It is God who sustains our generation, and he's the one who will see us to the end. So I like the fact that Moses said God is our dwelling place, a place where we could find safety. God was there before anything. God is unchanging. His ways don't change. He remains true to his word. The character of God, he remains true to his word, and he is not subject to shifting seasons like we are. What a father we have, somebody that, a God who is not subject to change. We could count on him. We can depend on him. And we could tell our generations to come, hey, listen, this is the real deal. God knows the outcome. The Bible says God is the Alpha and the Omega. You know, the Bible also says that God is faithful. He shows love to 1,000 generations of those who serve him and keep his commandment. 1,000 generations. Let's continue verse 3. So you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sheep, they are like sleep in the morning. They are like grass which grows up in the morning. It flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. So what exactly is Moses trying to say? Moses is simply saying that we are finite. We are temporal beings. We are mortal individuals. That means that our days on this earth will come to an end one day. Now, you know, it's easy for some people to see that as depressing. I personally don't think it is. I personally think that, you know, in the light of God, it's a reminder that, you know what, there is value in the days that I have. So again, we are finite beings. You know, Psalms 39, verse 5. David, you don't have to turn to it, but David was acknowledging his days, and he says, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but the vapor. So he recognizes that even on our best day, we need to put some things in context regarding what we do. There's some things that we have to recognize. Man will return to dust. Time is something that we have no control over. Like the twinkling of an eye. Like the twinkling of an eye. So it says for 1,000 years, God sees 1,000 years like a day or a second. Like a twinkling of an eye, we are here and we are gone. But in contrast to us, God is not confined by time. God can shift time, he can bend time, he can redeem time, he can make it whatever he wants. And this should be a comfort to us as well, because if we serve God and we feel in some areas that we have maybe mismanaged or misused our time, well, guess what? He's able to redeem it. He created it. He's able to redeem it. Let's continue in verse 7. It says, "For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before us, before you, our secret sins in light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our days like a sigh." Whew. Isn't that true? You know, God sees our actions. He observes our ways. He's displeased, just like any parent, when we make the wrong choices. You know, when we waste our years pursuing things that have no eternal value. He observes even the things that we do in secret. He sees it all. But guess what? He still desires the best choices for us. He still desires that we make the best of everything that he's given us. What a God. Verse 10, "The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. So we could muster courage to make it even longer. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow." Labor and sorrow. Sometimes it seems that that's just what life is, right? It just seems like, you know, that Groundhog Day, day after day, same old, same old, same old, same old. All right, you wake up, you go to work, you come back, you do the same thing over and over again. But it doesn't have to be that way for us Christians. As believers and as people who trust in God, we are not subject to the same way that the world sees time. For us, it's much more than that, and God is calling us to much more than that. Continue on. "For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath." And here it is. It says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Some translations say that we may apply our heart towards wisdom. And I think Moses is simply saying we have to be mindful of the time we have and how we use it. We have to be mindful of the time and how we use it. We must, In our time here and in our days here on earth, we must pursue the right things. Otherwise, like we said, it may be wasted time. So what is Moses saying? He says, teach us to know or to see the time available to us, first of all. Let us gain a heart of wisdom. Let us make good use of that time. Put our years on this earth in a proper perspective. What are we really here for? So I got 8 things that I came up with on why we must carefully consider our time on earth. 8 points. We are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow. Moses said, in the twinkling of an eye, we could be here today and gone tomorrow. We are not promised tomorrow. And as a result, it is very important that we use our days on earth and that we spend it wisely. That our days be productive and that it be useful, that it actually bears fruit, that reflect the God that we serve and his glory. The second point is we do not own our time, we manage it. And as a result, it is if we own our time and we are stewards of our time, that means that one day we will be required to give account on how we use it. Did we spend it on pursuing things that bear no fruit in terms of eternal value? Or did we spend it serving the God that redeemed us and the God that sustains us? Did we spend it worshiping him? Did we spend it in giving it all back to him? Number 3, to reflect on my impact thus far. So I said, have I missed the mark? And what exactly have I accomplished? You know, in reflecting on this particular point, I go back at certain issues, for example, in my marriage. Am I still dealing with that same issue over and over and over and over again? Well, you know what? It's time for me to say, you know what? Let's let's get this thing right, because we ain't got time to be wasting. We got bigger things to do. So have I missed the mark? So I must carefully examine and consider my time on earth to reflect my impact thus far. Am I making a difference? Number four, when we consider our time here on earth, we are deliberate in what we do. You know, about a month ago, I got a call from Pastor Sunday, and as we began to talk about, raising children and some of the things when it comes to kids, you know, he reminded me of something. He says, you know what? This is the time for you to be deliberate in what you are teaching your kids. When he is able right now to be impressionable and when he is listening, this is the time that you have to be deliberate. I cannot let certain things that my son needs to, the man that I want my son to be, I cannot let it happen just on its own. It doesn't happen on its own. I have to be deliberate. I have to say to myself, this is the type of individual, this is the type of man that I want him to be. And as a result, there are certain things that I have to put in place in order for that to happen. He, just like any loving father would, he said, this is the time. And you know Pastor Sunday. This is the time to be deliberate, to let them know. Number five, when we consider our time on earth, we no longer take for granted the opportunities that are before us. You know, it's a opportunity to serve God and his people. It's an opportunity to be salt and light in a world that needs it. It's something that we cannot take for granted. And so we must carefully consider our time in light of the opportunities that God presented us. Number six, we must be selective. We become selective. So when we carefully consider our time, we become selective. So we no longer take any job that comes our way, because now we are measuring it in terms of its usefulness and what we want to do and accomplish for God. Number seven, we are more open to the purposes of God. When we carefully consider the days that we have here on earth, we realize that it's all about furthering God's purposes on earth. And my final point, number eight, we approach all that we do considering the legacy with which we wish to leave. We approach all that we do considering the legacy we wish to leave. You know, when I want it to be said of me, I want it to be said of all those that I encounter, that I touched their lives in such a way that they knew that God was real. That's the legacy that I want. You know, that's the legacy I want. I want for my wife to say that was the best husband ever. You know, I want my children to say, you know what? My father gave us what was important. And that's knowing God, and he walked it out and demonstrated it to the best that he could. That's the legacy that I want, and that's the legacy that we should all aspire to. I'm gonna close out with this. So three ways to maximize our time on earth. So Moses says, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts unto wisdom. I say, so ask God to allow us to see the opportunity that time gives. Give us the wisdom in this area. Let us see some of the things and some of the choices that we make, and in light of it, in light of God's word, correct our ways. The other thing I see is offer my best time to God and his purposes. Offer my best days to God and his purposes. He created it. He gave it to me. He made it available for me. How much more of showing gratitude than to say, you know what, Lord, it is yours, and I'm going to offer it all to you. Offer my best time. And finally, I like the way that Moses closed this thing out. In verse 17, he says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let God establish the work of our hands. My prayer to you, for everybody in here this morning, is that God establishes the work of your hands, and that you see your days as having purpose and as having value, and that you enhance the usefulness by making the right choices in light of God's design. Amen.